Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are going to have an open mic day. Now, what does that mean? That means our telephone lines are going to be open for the entire hour, and you'll be able to call me at any time that you choose to, well, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. What do you think? Okay, the telephone number, I'm going to be giving it out right now, is 888-627-6008. This whole hour is going to be totally open, so you can call in if you so desire. 888-627-6008. And if you're the first-time listener, remember, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, relax. Let me tell you what I perceive, and I am an information resource, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. I came across a quote that I thought I'd start the show off with today. David Sarnoff is the gentleman that wrote this. He said, "Don't be misled into believing that somehow the world owes you a living. The boy who believes that his parents or the government or anyone else owes him his livelihood and that he can collect it without labor will wake up one day and find himself working for another boy who did not have that belief and therefore earned the right to have others work for him." I think that that is so very important. Any time that we get into that attitude that life, well, gee whiz, we're entitled. Maybe that's a different way of putting it. We're entitled. We often find ourselves in a murky, mucky mess that doesn't go away. And I've known a number of people through the years that have been of that mindset. And it's very unsettling because it's always somebody else's fault. Just about an hour ago, I was at a particular meeting, and I stopped off at a business on my way back to the office studio, and I had a conversation with someone, and this individual said, "I am quitting my job. I'm giving notice." Well, I've known this individual for a good year or more, and they're a very fine person, and I said, "Well, what in the world is going on?" Apparently, there's someone in her environment, and this has been experienced by some of the other employees who will not take responsibility for errors that they have perpetuated. It's always somebody else's fault. And recently, they made an error that cost a few thousand dollars to the business itself. And they said, "Oh, it's not my fault. This was wrong. That was wrong. The machine was wrong." And this person said, "I'm not going to be in an environment where I'm going to end up being a scapegoat for this person as they've tried to make me out to be." And so this individual is going to be moving on to a different environment. And I asked the question, I said, "What does the boss think about it?" Well, apparently the boss hired a friend, and this friend is creating havoc. But she has the wherewithal, the self-esteem, and the self-confidence, and she's already out looking for something else. She's being interviewed for a job shortly, and she said, "I'm out of here. I am not going to put myself in a situation where I am going to be a victim of someone else." This is so important. Personal accountability, personal responsibility is something we all need to recognize, and we need to be able to hold our heads up and recognize that we do, nobody owes us anything. We really have to be accountable. So sometimes when life puts us in a situation or we've gone into a situation we don't like, we have to owe up to it and handle it the best way that we can. And sometimes, like this young lady, you're going to move away saying, "I'm not going to be in a set environment anymore. That's it. Nada, niet, nein." She is really taking a step forward, believe it or not, that I think is going to open up all kinds of new opportunities for her. So it's a fascinating thing to watch life, to hear people's stories, and to see what evolves through various circumstances. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day, and if you would like to chat with me, give me a call at any time during this hour, 888-627-6008. Helen Keller is a woman that I think whenever anyone reads her story and the traumas that she went through when she was a child, because she was left deaf and blind due to a particular disease that hit her when she was quite small. And yet there was a woman that came into her life by the name of Ann Sullivan, who believed that Helen really was extremely intelligent and could live a good life. And she taught her. And many times Helen Keller would just throw these horrific tantrums. She just was what we call an incorrigible. But she didn't know how to express herself. But Ann Sullivan looked beyond what the appearance was and really looked into the essence of Helen Keller. She was very patient, very persistent, and she taught Helen to read. She taught her how to use her senses of touch, smell, taste. It opened up a tremendous world to her that she didn't even know existed. And the reason she had gone through these tantrums is because she had no other way of expressing herself. She just didn't have the words. She had lived in a world that was so confined, and it was quite frightening, I'm sure, at times. Helen, in her autobiography, said, "Fate, silent, pitiless, bars the way. Fain would I question his imperious decree, for my heart is undisciplined and passionate, but my tongue will not utter the bitter, futile words that rise to my lips, and they fall back into my heart like unshed tears. Silence sits immense upon my soul. Then comes hope with a smile and whispers, there is joy in self-forgetfulness. So I try to make the light in other people's eyes my sun, the music in other people's ears my symphony, the smile on others' lips my happiness." What a woman. She acknowledged all of these emotions that she felt, not afraid to speak of them, but also recognizing that she had the choice of making her life what she wanted to be, that she could choose what was most important to her and what she wanted to do with her life, how she wanted to live her life, and all because of Ann Sullivan opening up to her a world that had otherwise been unknown. And I think that's a real good story about the power of one person making a difference. Ann Sullivan, as a teacher, had an impact on Helen Keller, who to this day has an impact on millions of people. You never know how whatever you may do is going to impact someone else in such a way and manner that will transform their lives and enable them to ripple out in a way and manner that is just incredible. I don't think Anne ever imagined the depth of difference her patience and persistence made. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is an open mic hour. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Now, I do want to let you know who's going to be coming up tomorrow and Friday. We're going to be talking about soak your nuts. Yes. This is all about cleansing. Karen Calabrese is going to be my guest. She is absolutely a doll. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan Goldman is considered one of the top experts in the world regarding sound therapy. And this man is just amazing, what he does with his CDs and the various tones that he utilizes. So not only is Jonathan going to be talking with us, but also I believe his wife is going to be joining us too, because she has a different modality relating to sound that she deals with. So I think we're going to really have a power-packed time. So be sure you check on the BBS site for show information with the Donna Sebo Show so you can find out about all of these different programs that are going on. Health is always in the news. Every day we're bombarded with commercials to fix this, that, or the other. And I always find it fascinating how at the end of the commercials we have all of this stuff that can be side effects. If you listen to that part, then you will realize you probably don't want to touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole. It is really fascinating to me, the art of advertising. Have you ever paid attention to an ad and just really looked at it and listened to it, watched all the scenery? And I've noticed with so many ads regarding pharmaceuticals, they have this wonderful, beautiful environment. They have all this soft music and various things to distract you so that you're not going to be paying attention to the disclaimers. Not the disclaimers, but all of the various things, the side effects statements that they have regarding medicine. And I think it's so important for us to take a positioning of becoming educated. Now, I know we're not going to necessarily go to medical school, but I'll tell you, I am really impressed with how many people are becoming more and more assertive about their wellness. And I was reading some stats earlier today when I was reviewing some material, how the alternative health industry, I'll use that term, the business of alternative health, is growing phenomenally. It is absolutely exploding because there is so much that people are saying, this isn't working, I've got problems, nobody's listening to me, and they're saying, let me check things out. And I've done a number of interviews through the years with people who have had a relative that has gone online checking for information and just utilizing the internet, researching, asking questions. The information age that we're in, sometimes we feel like we're drowning in it, but there is so much to learn. Well, one of the biggest conversations that often is discussed is heart health. And I've had a number of members in my family that have gone through this experience. My grandmother had heart problems. To what degree, I don't know, but she lived to be 92 years of age. She was born in 1900. And this woman, I swear, she had anything that was popular with the day. And I'm not making fun of her, bless her soul. She's gone on for quite a while now. But I just really think that many times there will be conditions that exist that nobody's connecting. And because the time frame she grew up in, there wasn't a lot of information available. It was pretty limited. Well, when you get into Chinese medicine, I think it is so fascinating to study this. And there's other areas of alternative medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. There's so many things that have been around for a very, very long time that it's worth exploring. And I'm not saying that pharmaceuticals don't have their place. They do. But I think it's up to us to work with our wellness and to look at ourselves as a whole complete package. Every cell in your body has an intelligence quotient all of its own. And if you stop and think about how your body operates, and you don't even concern yourself most of the time, when something does go awry, it really is upsetting. It's very, very upsetting. Well, in Chinese medicine, they regard the pumping action of the heart and your circulatory system as the yang aspect of the heart. And the heart system includes the vessels and the tributaries, also electrical energy, because that's what triggers the heart to contract. So in Chinese medicine, it's really something that represents also the emotional aspect of the individual. Now, in the Western world, we tend to associate emotions and feelings with the brain, not with the heart. However, ancient medicine does. That's why the statements, it's the heart of the matter. or someone is heartless or brave heart, because it is that emotional center. Also, in Chinese medicine, the heart is the home to what they call the Shen. And the Shen represents the spirit, the mind, or the supreme being. Have you heard any of the stories, I have, about people that have gone through heart transplants and they find themselves experiencing things they would never have imagined? I recall one particular case. It was a woman who had gotten the heart of an older teenager. And this teenager, unknown to her, loved salty foods. Just, it was amazing. This woman, after the surgery, ended up craving certain foods. There was a memory pattern in that heart. And she said she became aware of other things. And finally, when there was the opportunity to find out who the donor was, and in her case, that was made available to her, when she found out about the teenager's heart that she had received, all of a sudden things started clicking. She said, oh my goodness, I didn't ever like salty cheese puffs. Now I crave them. And there's all kinds of things that shifted and changed. So it enabled her to understand that she had taken part of that person who had been put into her body, that was something that was keeping her alive, which is wonderful, but she had gotten something extra with it as well. So the heart, well, you really want to be grounded and centered, and you want to be able to have in your life a balance. So many times people that have the heart challenges are so stressed.
Hello?
Hi, this is Donna. I'm sorry. We had some little electronic gremlin running through the telephone lines, and hello?
Still live.
Still live? Okay, I'm sorry. We're hearing the strangest things on the phone line, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway, with the heart, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to understand that you can, through nutrition, actually make your heart stronger and healthier. Of course, why get a heart condition in the beginning? Why not take care of yourself to start off? But there are things that can be done, and they're coming out with the research, more and more research regarding this, and it's so important. But let me just share with you for just a couple of tidbits of information, and this is through Dr. Shen. And Dr. Shen, it's the handbook that he put out regarding herbs and helping the body to be healthier. One of the things that he talks about with this relative to heart health, and this is something that's good for anybody, when you're exercising, don't breathe through your mouth. Breathe through your nose. Now, what happens is that breathing through your mouth creates an overexertion to the heart. And it can really make the heart uncomfortable. If you've ever known anybody that has severe sleep apnea, we have a number of members, males especially, in our family who have this. Invariably, they're sleeping with their mouths open, and they have a challenge with breathing through the sinuses for whatever reason, and they hold their breath. They actually stop breathing, and then all of a sudden they'll gasp and start up again. And I have a friend whose husband goes through this, and she said it just absolutely drives her nuts. Because if he's not using his sleep apnea machine, that unit, then she said it wakes her up because he stopped breathing, so she has to poke him to wake him up. And she'll say, put that mask on and start breathing. And it makes a difference. And her husband found when he used the machine then he was able to feel rested because he actually wasn't getting rest, breathing through the mouth, stopping the breathing. It's really something we need to be aware of. But remember, doing things like Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, gentle exercises that are going to exercise your body are going to keep that heart muscle and your circulatory system really strong. And ladies, I'll tell you something. If you want to have beautiful, flexible, nice skin when you're in your 70s and 80s, remember, your diet is important, getting rest is important, staying out of the sun is important, but try brushing your skin. That's right. Using a very soft, bristled brush and brush the skin. And start with your feet, go up your legs, brush gently, and then go up the entire torso, brush your arms, brush around your neck, lightly brush the face. Wonderful. Why is this beneficial? And this is really old information. It's because it stimulates your lymph glands and enables your skin to be beautiful. So ladies, that's a trick. I don't know that the guys would be interested in, but I don't know of a gal around that doesn't want to look nice. So if you're a younger person, middle-aged, and you're older, remember, take care of yourself. If you do, you're going to look absolutely fabulous. So there are so many things you can learn about your body. Don't be afraid to explore other areas of information. Remember, though, when it comes to taking herbs, there is not a pharmaceutical that has been put out, period, that doesn't come from the origins of the plant kingdom. But you need to understand them. And if you don't, then you're going to have some problems. I had a friend who, because of the use of SEX tea, she had cancer, was given just a few months to live. She lived 16 years longer. And this is a recipe that was developed by Native Americans, and there was a Native American gave it to a Canadian woman. One day I will share that phenomenal story with you. It's just absolutely incredible. And by golly, it cured people of cancer. The herbs that were in this recipe were just amazing. Now, the thing about it is that my friend, who lived for 16 years, where she was supposed to be dead in a few months, she would fix the recipe for the SEAC tea, but she was allergic to one of the components, and she found she had to find a substitute, and a good herbologist was able to advise her on that. The body has its own needs, and chemically, each and every one of us are very different. So it's always good to check out and find out what would be right for you, and believe it or not, slowly but surely, other than using kinesiology, we are beginning to find ways to be able to evaluate people to understand what is going to ensure their good health. I think it's terrific. And that's one of the benefits of technology. But keep in mind, your chemistry changes frequently. And if you have a cold, it changes. If you have, obviously, any kind of illness, it changes. If you are tired, it changes. If you are following a particular food pattern that maybe isn't all that good for you, it's changing. You're a chemical machine, a living machine. This chassis we have is quite special, and I think it's an amazing component. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day. If you would like to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the number, 888-627-6008, and I'll light up your life with a little bit of insight. There was a fellow by the name of Michael who said that on his vacation, his brother had complained about being in a cabin that was just, they had too many bugs. They were out in the woods, no big surprise, but he was a city guy. He wasn't used to it. And he said, when I was in the bathroom, he said to his mom, I saw an earwig crawl out of your makeup bag. His mother's response was, how did it look? Oh, I love a woman's sense of humor. Good thing. Oh, by the way, I am going to have a neat chocolate recipe for you, so have a pad of paper and a pen later on, and I'll be glad to share that with you later on in the show. Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you today was a little bit of history about an item that almost all of us have in our closet or have had in our closet, and that item is blue jeans. My goodness, they are such an American icon that in the Smithsonian Institution, they have a permanent collection about blue jeans. And the guy that developed the blue jeans, I'm sure you know his name, Levi Strauss, he was a dry goods peddler. That's how he was making his living. And he was following the gold rush. Yes, he came to California following all those 49ers in 1850, and he was going to sell them a tent canvas. But what he found is that conditions out at the gold mines were really, really rugged, and they needed sturdy pants much more than they needed tents. So he decided to make waist overalls. And before he knew it, he was getting all kinds of orders, so he set up shop in San Francisco, and business was booming, just booming. Over the period of 10 years, he introduced three different design changes that made the name Levi synonymous around the world with blue jeans. Now, this is what he did. He added reinforcing rivets, and they are the company's trademarks. Check the pockets, all of the points on the jeans that will take the most amount of stress. He had put rivets in there to hold material into place. And also, he had substituted the canvas material with cotton. And it was a cotton that came out of France. The cotton ended up being called denim. And the third item that was there, that's the indigo blue. That's right. That dye that he found specifically for his jeans was absolutely perfect. The jeans would come out the same color consistently. And there you have the story about blue jeans. I was in a business meeting earlier today, and someone made a comment, and I thought, what a wonderful thing to say about Americans. I said, you know, we have developed, you know, there's been all kinds of developments with automation and change of manufacturing, but there's something about the American spirit that allows for inventiveness. It doesn't seem like there's so much of this allowed in so many other parts of the world. Not that there aren't smart people around the world, but in America, it's as if we feel that is what we're supposed to do. We like being problem solvers. We like taking on the challenge of doing something differently and wanting to know, gee, can this work? And our history is loaded with people of that mind and that disposition. And I thought, what a great attitude, because I think that's something we need to remember. Right now, we're going through so many difficult times. We're having some challenges. But remember, part of the American spirit is the aspect of innovation and solution. Not getting stuck in the old ways and being aware there are times for certain traditions to be in place, and there's other times to put them in their file cabinet of specialty and roll out a whole new drawer that's wide open to brand new opportunities of thinking. I think that's marvelous. And I think it's an example for so many others around the world. That's one of the things that people consider part of the American dream, is the fact that you have an opportunity to make things happen, where in so many parts of the world, you just cannot do that at all. There are parts of the world, it's a caste system, you're born into that system. It's even in certain parts of Europe. And you never have that stigma leave. It's always there. If you were born the daughter of a maid, you could never have a business of your own in certain parts of the world. You were still going to be a maid because that is what you were supposed to do. Fascinating stuff. Well, I'd much rather have the opportunity of choice and enjoy being a unique and, what do I want to say, enterprising individual, than not having that choice at all. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. This is an open mic day. Telephone number 888-627-6008. When we come back, a mystery that has not been solved, a chocolate recipe, and even some more things. But give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Animals do some interesting things. They are funny. They're fascinating to watch. But would you ever think a beaver would take money? Well, I'll tell you what. That's what happened in Greensburg, Los Angeles. They found that beavers had come across a cache of money. That's right. And what they did, they took that money and used it to build their dam. They wove it in and around the pieces of the dam. It's really, really something. Who would ever think that they would do that? But they have no value. You know, it doesn't mean anything to them. It's just building material, and that's what they used it for. And you know what? People have all kinds of pets, and they just are fascinating. I've got a friend in Oregon. She is an animal rescuer. She rescues cats. She has a house that was specifically designed and decorated so that these cats can go all over the place. And it's very clean, and she's just, this is her life, to rescue these animals, make sure that they find new homes. Well, there's another person that has this kind of attitude about ferrets. Now, her name is C.J. Jones, and she was working at an animal hospital. And one day, somebody brings in an injured ferret. And she just thought that this was absolutely one of the sweetest creatures she had ever encountered. And she started and founded, in 1997, the 24-Karat Ferret Rescue and Shelter. And this is located in Las Vegas. And do you know she has had up to 90 ferrets at a time, and she's rescued more than 1,500. In my wildest dreams, I never knew there were that many people that were that fond of ferrets. I used to do a remote broadcast at a pet store, and I'll never forget hearing all of the stories about all of these various creatures that they sold, and that included pink tarantulas. I'm not kidding you. They are actually pink. And I was fascinated with this. And she said, they really make. The lady that was featured on my show, she had quite an extensive knowledge about all kinds of creatures. And she said the tarantulas really made very good pets, and they kept the insect population down quite a bit. Well, I think most of us, when we see any of these furry little spiders, they're fairly good size, and they intimidate us to a degree. But she said they really did make great pets, and people loved them. So you have all kinds of things that people like to get into. And one of the things that we discover is that animals do communicate. We know that if we are a pet owner ourselves. But can they actually talk? Well, I've seen some videos on dogs that were trained to talk. One beautiful dog, I think he was a border collie, was able to say, I love you. And it was very audible, very, very audible. Well, there is a black and white tomcat that lived in the Turkish town of Konya in the 1960s. The cat's name was Paula, and it had the vocabulary of a one-year-old. That's right, a one-year-old. His owner's name was Iep, and he said that the cat began talking after it became very jealous of the family's grandchildren, and this cat would talk in Turkish. So help me, this is a true story. Amazing things. You just never know what's going to be happening with the creatures around you. Okay, I have got this wonderful recipe. Get your pad of paper handy and pen. Chocolate crispy bites. And you can make these up to 4 days in advance of when you'd want to serve them. Well, who knows if they'd even last the 4 days. But this is something that if you knew that you were going to be having some company, or maybe you were going to be going to an event at your church or with your club and you wanted to have something special to take along. This is an item that you can do in advance, keeps very, very well, and it has 16 servings to it. Now, this is all that you're going to need. You're going to need an 8-inch square cake pan, and you want to line it with a baking parchment paper. And these are the ingredients that you're going to need. You're going to have a white layer and a dark layer in these chocolate crispy bites. So I'm going to give you the ingredients for the white layer. Now, you're going to need 4 tablespoons of butter for the white layer, 1 tablespoon of light corn syrup, 5.5 ounces of white chocolate, and 1/2 cup of toasted rice cereal, your Rice Krispies. The dark layer is going to require these ingredients, 4 tablespoons of butter and 2 tablespoons of light corn syrup, 4.5 ounces of dark chocolate broken into small pieces, and 3/4 cup of toasted rice cereal. This is easy. Your 8-inch square cake pan is already greased up, lined with baking parchment, so let's make the first layer. The white chocolate layer, you melt the butter, the corn syrup, and chocolate in a double boiler. You remove it from the heat, stir in your rice cereal until it's well combined, and then press it into your 8-inch square pan, and you want to make sure the top surface is level. To make your dark chocolate layer, similar thing. Melt the butter, the light corn syrup, and dark chocolate in the double boiler. Remove it from the heat. Stir in that rice cereal until it's well coated. Pour the dark chocolate layer over the hardened white chocolate layer. Smooth it, and then you put it in the refrigerator. You want to keep it in the refrigerator until the top portion has really gotten very, very hard and firm. Now, this, once it's all firm and solid, then you can turn it out of the pan and cut it into small squares, and you want to use a very, very sharp knife. And I would say, if you wanted to add something to this recipe, it's so simple. This is the type of thing kids love, and it's crunchy and it's chocolatey. It's very, very good. But what you would want to do is maybe take some, depending on the type of chocolate you use, and I'm a dark chocolate person, melt a little bit of that dark chocolate, like some chocolate chips. Maybe take about, I'd say 1/4 cup to 1/2 cup, whatever your preference would be. And then just If you use a half a cup, you just cover the whole top with the chocolate. And you would do this and let it harden. And you'd do that before you cut it. Or you could take the squares, if you decided you wanted to cut this up into squares, and then dip it in the chocolate or drizzle the chocolate over the chocolate squares. Let it harden and then put it away into a container if it lasts that long. That enables you to really enjoy it at any time you desire. But it's a nice item to have. It's light, it's not heavy, and it's got good flavor. And of course, as always, if you use good chocolate, you're going to come out way ahead. Well, I have some information regarding dating, and it is using the computer. And I know that with so many people, I've known people that have had horrific experiences with this, and other people that just think it's the best thing that ever happened to him. There is a friend of mine whose son decided that he wanted to be married, and he had been dating off and on, and he'd gotten very frustrated. So he went and joined a major dating service online, and you see it advertised on television, and he said, okay, I'm going to try this. And he really found it quite interesting, but he just was beginning to get discouraged when he saw someone that he was matched up with, and she was in another state, and they had a chance to communicate, and by golly, they ended up getting married. She moved to where he was, and they now have two beautiful children, and he said it was the greatest thing that had ever happened to him. He was just thrilled with the results, but it was something that took him a while to figure out how to use it. Apparently, there's over 1,500 sites in today's electronic world that are devoted to the dating game, and you can have some problems with it if you're not careful. And I've known this to happen to individuals. The long-distance relationship, you've got someone you've never met, and you've got all of this conversation, if you will, that goes on, and the person is thousands of miles away. Now, sometimes you may not know that. If they're up front, they'll tell you. And it seems to be romantic. It seems to be like, oh, this is just so great, but you really don't have a chance to get to know the person. Now, this is what the research on this has brought up, and that if you are going to be doing online dating, you want to avoid being scammed. You don't want to go that route. So most of the time, the people that are doing this kind of stuff will target victims outside of the areas that they're located in to avoid being found or prosecuted. And this is everywhere. The Canadians are having this challenge, too, and other parts of the world. It's just the factor of technology. And one of the things that's absolutely a no-no is do not reveal personal data to someone unless you have a chance to meet them face-to-face and develop some trust. You know, it's so easy to just share your life with another person via the Internet. But many times there are those individuals that will want you to do that because they've got something else in mind. And it certainly isn't in a committed relationship. And one of the things that you need to be aware of, is they have found in research on this, that you need to pay attention to the language of people. And when I say that, it's what's their accent, because they're finding a lot of those that are scamming, committing crimes, are from West Africa in the former Soviet republics. And they say, if you are aware that their English isn't so good, be attentive. Pay attention. This is something that is not a joke. You don't want to end up having challenges that you don't like. And also, it's advisable, use search engines to check out any suitors. And there was a woman by the name of Bernstein. She said that she was getting emails from this guy, and she said it just seemed too good to be true. And so what she did was cut and pasted one of his emails into Google. And do you know what happened? The exact words popped up on several websites devoted to romance scams. Sharp lady. She was able to find out about it. And also, you can upload a potential paramour's photo on 10i.com, that's T-I-N-E-Y-E, And Bernstein said this will allow you to see where on the internet the photo has appeared. A lot of con artists use a photo they've swiped from a Facebook page. Wouldn't that be scary to find that your face has been floating around someplace and it has nothing whatsoever to do with you? So the recommendation is stick to online dating sites that you have to pay for. That means that you've got credit cards on file, and just know it doesn't mean that the sites are going to be free of the scammers of the world, but there may be fewer of them. But you do have to pay attention and be aware. They try to reach people by saying, gee, I'm a soldier, I'm going through this. There is actually an Army Criminal Investigation Command that has had to go public and say that check these things out because photos of soldiers are being used in the wrong way. And these scammers are abusing this big time. So just a little bit in the way of tips on dating and the social environment of the technological world that we live in. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I have got a mystery for you, and it's about a psychic detective who saved a city. Now, this is, I love stories like this, don't you? Because it shows that there is a communication capacity that is beyond scientific explanation. And I have to tell you, I have some fascinating people coming up on my show in the next few weeks that they go into this in various cultures. We're going to be talking about various aspects of beliefs that different cultures have had developed. Well, in 1940, it was on the 2nd of January, there was a 73-year-old man. His name was Arthur Price Roberts. Excellent health. But he had told people 2 months earlier, I'm going to die. Well, we all are going to die, right? No, he said, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to die in 2 months. He did. And he had lived a lifetime, apparently, where he could foretell disasters, and he was super good at catching crooks. Now, from the time he had been a little boy, he had the skill to see and find things that others could not. Believe it or not, this man was illiterate. That's right, he was illiterate. He did not want to become educated, as you and I would desire to be, because he thought if he became educated, his talent would go away. This is what this man accomplished in his lifetime. He saved a wrongly convicted murderer from execution. How did he do it? He was able to see where the body of a missing man had been snagged by a sunken log in a river. He also located a killer in a 2-year-old murder case by picking the killer's picture out of a series of police mugshots and announcing where the killer was working, and the killer was in another country. He also tracked down a stolen taxi while the thieves were driving it. Is that cool or not? Boy, couldn't we use a few more of these people? And then they were caught 24 hours after the theft. And in 1935, in Milwaukee, he said to the police, there's going to be a lot of bombings and dynamiting. I see 2 banks blown up and perhaps the city hall. It's going to blow up the police stations, and there's going to be a big blow up south of the Menominee River, and it's going to be all over. 8 days later, the village hall was blasted to bits. 2 people died. Others were injured. The next day, the same dynamiters blew up 2 Milwaukee banks and 2 police stations. And they had put out extra police patrols. Okay, and I'll finish this. I know we've got a caller. Let me go to the caller, and I'll finish the story when we come back. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Mary, and I'm calling from Tennessee.
Well, hi, Mary. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Where in Tennessee?
Memphis.
In Memphis. Well, I'm glad that you're able to join us. All right, Mary, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is you're in what I would call a standstill situation. There are a number of things going on around you, and you're aware of all of it, but something is just telling you to be still. Be still. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't make any dramatic decisions until you're able to feel like you can be totally clear about what you need to do. So patience is needed, but more than that, you must understand that there are some things in your thinking that are changing. And you're becoming aware that certain modalities of, I'll call it a belief system or a thinking process, aren't working anymore. And you're having to expand. So you need to go through this adjustment. It's not good, it's not bad. It's just what I call a point of maturation. And you are opening yourself up to a broader spectrum of perception and understanding. I think it's terrific. I really do. I think it's excellent. But it can be a little scary when you think that you've had a certain positioning, and boy, it was really doing well, and all of a sudden it's falling apart. And you go, I don't understand this. It is part of the change that you actually ask for in the way of understanding over 2 years ago, and it's taken this long for the evolution to evolve. So you're not off track. You just need to stay quiet, alert, aware, and focused. Don't be afraid, because you're really coming in to a whole new level of yourself. And I think between now and March 3rd of next year, you're going to have a whole different agenda from what you have today because of these shifts in thinking. What question do you have for me?
Wow. You have just floored me. You know, I have been, for the last, few years, I took care of my mother until, her passing. And I just went to Chicago in the middle of July. My sister was only 59 years old. She had a very aggressive form of cancer, and I was practically live with her, in the ICU unit in Chicago, Illinois, and I was there when she took her last breath. And I don't understand, what's going on,
Okay, Mary, hon, I hate to tell you this, but we're running out of time. Now, do me a favor and call me back tomorrow.
Okay.
or the next day, but call in earlier. Call in
earlier.
Sure will. Dear. Okay?
Okay, dear. Thank you.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, dear. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I look forward to that. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the time has gone by so quickly. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. I'm so sorry I had to cut Mary off, but we are out of time. And we'll be back here tomorrow. Yep, talking about how to soak your nuts. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. God bless. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.